Let me just say this in the beginning, that there's groups in the country that have different views about the millennial reign of Christ. Some believe that in the last days that our Lord will return to Jerusalem and set up His kingdom, and they'll there reign for 1,000 years. There are others who have different views along that same line. And yet, I want us to notice today that the only kingdom that is spoken of so far as on this earth is here today. And those of you who are members of the body of Christ are citizens of that kingdom. And so we want to think about that this morning. Josh read from the 7th chapter of Daniel. Daniel, of course, in the last part of that, talks about the time when the one who has come from God would be given all authority and all of this. In the 2nd chapter is another figure that Nebuchadnezzar had the dream and saw this image, a gold head, a head of gold, and silver on the breast and the lower part of the stomach and the legs was bronze, and then the feet was iron mixed with miry clay. And pretty well all of the individuals that I have read for the scholars believe that in both of these prophecies, both of these dreams that Nebuchadnezzar had and that Daniel had, it is speaking of four kingdoms. Speaking of the Babylonian kingdom to start with, the Mesopotamian, the Medes and Persians was the second, and the Greeks was the third, and the Roman Empire was the fourth. During that Roman Empire, there was a strength there, and yet the people never did completely adhere to one another. There was some division throughout the many nations that had been pulled under that Roman Empire. And so it was in the days of this king or kingdom that the God of heaven would set up a kingdom that would not be left unto men. And so when we look at what is said about that, especially in verse 44, he says, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." I asked Luke if he'd lead that song. It shall stand, it shall stand. And so we're talking about the kingdom, the church, that will stand until the end of time. I believe that if you look at Revelations, the 5th chapter, you see some of the fulfillment of what was taking place in Daniel the 7th chapter. Beginning with verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the multitude of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb to take the worthy is the Lamb." Let me get back to verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessed and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. The book was in the hand of him that sat on the throne. And no one was able to go and to take the book and to look therein and to loose the seals of it. And John wept because there was no one worthy to do that. And then he sees the Lamb as it has been slain as it comes and takes the book and opens it. This is a representation of our Lord when he goes back to the right hand of God the Father after his crucifixion. And during that period of time, he would receive the authority and power and dominion forever and ever. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, beginning with verse 18, when he came to the disciples, he said, "All authority in heaven and in earth hath been given unto me. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." All authority and all power had been given unto him when he had been resurrected from the dead and came back in the presence of the disciples and apostles some few days after that time. So we can see the prophecy concerning this, and I want us this morning to notice some other things along this line. Before the day of Pentecost, the kingdom of heaven was at hand, but it was not here at that time. If you look with me at some passages, we'll look at Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 and 2. "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Not here, but it is at hand. In Matthew 4 and verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Mark 1:14-15. "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Notice what he says. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. In Mark, the 9th chapter, in verse 1, as he was gathered with some of his disciples, or apostles, he said, "And he said unto them, as surely I say unto you, that there are some standing here who will not to taste death till they see the kingdom come with power. Keep that in mind, because we'll be looking at that a little bit later on. So, at that time, the kingdom's not yet here. The kingdom is at hand. Jesus told in Matthew the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10, as Jesus was telling them how to pray, he said to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And it goes on and says, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." But at that time, he's saying, pray that the kingdom come. You and I cannot pray for the kingdom to come because it is here today. So sometimes when people talk about the Lord's Prayer, this is more or less an example of how to pray. But we do not pray for the kingdom to come because the kingdom is already here, and we need to keep that in mind as we pray. In Acts, the first chapter, verses 1 through 8, the kingdom is still not here. In Acts, the first chapter, verses 1 through 8. No, I'm not telling you right. Verses 15 beginning. No, I was right to start with. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed to himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and beginning and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "Ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own hand, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world." So this is Acts, the first chapter. The kingdom is still not here. But he says that you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles, and they began to speak with different languages, Peter was the last one of them to preach or to speak. And if you remember, if you go back to Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 16 and 17, he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom." And I like the New Translation, New American Standard Translation, puts it this way. "Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Peter did not have the authority to bind and loose, but what he taught was that which was coming from through the Holy Spirit from God, and what he bound was bound because God bound it in heaven, and what he loosed was loosed because God had loosed it in heaven. And I think that's a better translation of that. But Peter begins to speak. And in verse 36, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and prayer. And it goes on to verse 47. And the Lord was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Over here it's in the future. Now it's being saved. The kingdom has come with power. Peter has used the key of that kingdom to open. And about 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost entered into the church, entered into the kingdom. And so we have the kingdom at this time then being established on the day of Pentecost. And so when we talk about a kingdom, in the first place, we're not talking about a physical kingdom. We're talking about a spiritual kingdom. And if you look at John, the 18th chapter, verses 33 through 37, you remember that Pilate asked Jesus a question. Are you a king? And he said, are you asking this of yourself or from some other? And he said, I'm in so many words, I'm not a Jew. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my people would fight. Henceforth, my kingdom is not from here. And he goes on and asks him, are you a king then? He said, for that purpose came I, was I born, and for that purpose came I into the world, that I might bear witness of the truth. And so, this kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. This is not the kingdom that was prophesied of. The kingdom that was prophesied of is a spiritual kingdom where Christ dwells and rules in the heart of those who are members of his body, the church. And so if you can keep that in mind, then you can better understand what we're talking about when we're talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ. In the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 28 and 29. There he speaks of that we have received the kingdom which cannot be shaken. So, in the future, now in the present, we have received the kingdom which cannot be shaken. It will last as long as this world will last. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, Paul writing concerning the end of things in verse 24 and 26. Then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, I said it'll last as long as this world lasts. Because here he talks about at the end. And if you will, turn with me over to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And we'll see what happens when that day comes. Let's begin with verse 9 and read a little bit. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works of therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scripture. And so, the kingdom will be here until the end of the world. You don't have to worry about a new kingdom coming. There won't be a new kingdom coming, because this kingdom will last forever and ever and ever. It shall stand until the day that the Lord returns again and calls an end to this world as we see it today. And then it will be burned up, and we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with Him there. The time is running swiftly, and I have so much that I want to say, but the time will not permit it, but I want you to look at another passage with me. Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13. And here they are writing Paul, they're concerned about their dead, what's going to happen to them. He said, "But I would not that you should be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before those which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Does it sound to you like He's coming back to earth and set up a kingdom? When the end comes, this world will burn up. Those who are in the grave will be resurrected. If we are privileged to be here and be alive at that time, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. This physical body will put on a spiritual body, and we'll be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. And there we will ever be with the Lord. So, He's not coming back to earth to set up a kingdom. The kingdom is here. And we need to be sure that we're in it. I want to give you some scriptures. I'm not going to take the time to read them because I don't have the time as to where He's at this time. He's at the right hand of God in heaven. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3, Hebrews 9:24, Hebrews 10:12, Hebrews 12:2, if you want to put these down and look at them later on. Our King is the only potentate, which means one with great authority and power. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, as Paul points out in Timothy, the 6th chapter, in verse 16. Now, again, we have just a few minutes. Christ our King is head of the church and Savior of the body. In Ephesians, the 1st chapter, verses 20 through 23. Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own hand in heavenly places. For above all principalities and powers and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Colossians 1. Verse 17 through 19. Colossians 1. 17 through 19. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace there through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreproved. So, again, notice these things that has took place in this. There are other passages that I do not have the time to give you that talks about us being called into the kingdom of God's dear Son. In 1 Thessalonians, and then in 2 Thessalonians, he says that we were called through the gospel. That's how we were called. And Colossians says that we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, how do we get into the kingdom? I could say we get in just like everyone before us has gotten into it. But there are a few passages I want you to look at as we bring the lesson to a close. Will, turn with me over to John, the 3rd chapter. Verses 3 through 5. Jesus answered, he's speaking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man that be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter and to the kingdom of God. And so there has to be a new birth. One has to be born of the water and of the Spirit to enable him to be in the kingdom of God. And the best place that I've ever found to give a commentary, if you will, on this is Romans, the 6th chapter. And if you would turn there with me to Romans, the 6th chapter, we'll read the first few verses. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Colossians, the 2nd chapter. Verse 12, beginning. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgive you you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. How do we get into the kingdom? Same way those on the day of Pentecost did. They repented of their sins. They confessed their faith in Christ. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. They were buried with him in baptism. And they were raised up to walk in newness of life, and God added them to the church or to his kingdom. If you're not in the kingdom today, then why not? Why not take this opportunity? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins and confess him before this audience, you can be baptized this morning for the remission of your sins. You can have the forgiveness of your sins. You can be added to the body of Christ. You can be added to his kingdom and live the rest of your life and finally go home to be with God in the after a while. If not, why not?